Are you looking for ways to attract and retain private pay clients? Thrizer is a payment platform for therapists built to help clients automatically tap into their out-of-network benefits and save on therapy up front. Check out our special link, join.thrizer.com/modern therapist, and use the code modernTherapists to activate $2,500 in free payments with Thrizer.
Simplified SEO Consulting has DIY done with you training and done for you SEO options. So there is truly something to fit every practice owner's SEO needs. Check them out at simplifiedseoconsulting.com/modern therapist and use the code modern therapist for a DIY course or mention the Modern Therapist Survival Guide podcast during your consult for special offers.
You're listening to the Modern Therapist Survival Guide, where therapists live, breathe, and practice as human beings. To support you as a whole person and a therapist, here are your hosts, Kurt Widhelm and Katie Vernoy.
Welcome back, Modern Therapists. This is the Modern Therapist Survival Guide. I'm Kurt Widhelm with Katie Vernoy, and this is the podcast for therapists that looks at uncomfortable things in our profession. And this is another one of those episodes that does that. And we are talking about the already developed but looming and worsening mental health workforce shortage across America. And this actually, some of the stuff that we're going to talk about today also has impact worldwide. So for our international listeners as well, we're going to talk about you too. But there's been this little thing called the COVID-19 pandemic.
Yes.
And those of us in the know before the pandemic knew that mental health access was not great in pretty much all parts of the world. And we follow along workforce issues and work with our legislature and the U.S. government on some access issues in our advocacy efforts, and continue to have an interest and continue to provide advocacy on this. And as we're looking at the next few years, it's going to get worse. That we are seeing an exodus of workers from the mental health workforce. We are seeing a lot of reports from research organizations. We're going to talk about some things out of a research group called Mercer and their reports that things are looking bad in the next 5 years as far as mental health workers, that there is an exodus of workers here. Katie and I have talked before about how hard it is to become even eligible for some of these positions, and it's going to get a whole lot worse.
Paired with what people were colloquially calling a mental health pandemic, you know, the second wave of pandemic is a mental health pandemic. And I think for me, I'm actually seeing this in my own practice. I opened for new clients and I'm getting calls from folks who can't find someone who takes their insurance, who are not getting calls back. I mean, there are already issues with folks being able to access mental health treatment when they want it. And we've also got this worker exodus. And I think the broad strokes of this, I think, are that there are, at least locally, you know, for me, I don't know that many people that take insurance. You know, many people have gotten off insurance panels. I'm getting off insurance panels because of the what they pay. And I think it's something where people want to use their insurance. People also at times need higher levels of care, and those beds are not there. I was reading an article out of Colorado where there are folks who are staying in, I think, solitary confinement because they can't get into mental health facilities when they've been determined that that's the appropriate type of incarceration. Not that that's kind of what we're talking about today, but there are so few mental health workers across the breadth and depth of our field that people are not getting the services that they need. And there are big impacts on our community. So this is already happening, but it's something where we are also leaving the profession. And that's pretty terrifying.
And we've been talking about this for a while. We had a episode earlier this year on why therapists quit. We had several follow-up episodes to it that, but in looking at the trends, and I'm looking at the Mercer report here, we are looking at some major mental health shortage of workers. The Mercer report talks about that they're expecting 400,000 mental health workers will leave the occupation entirely over the next 5 years. And that's going to be leaving mostly public mental health employers with a shortage of 510,000 spots U.S. nationwide. Getting into the reasons why, we've covered in a number of other episodes, super high caseloads.
Yep.
You know, large caseloads, the very quick return to business as normal in a lot of situations. And this is echoed really largely at the time of this recording. I'm seeing early reports of this is really impacting places like college counseling centers that are a month into the new year, two months into the new academic year by the time that this episode drops, and are seeing increases from last year's already increased rates of seeking services by over 20% year over year. So they are facing increased calls for services with a drop in available workers to come in and provide services. The experience of these workers is also that the crises that are coming in are bigger and more severe than they have been in the past. So we're getting this perfect storm of more need, higher need, and fewer people to do it. And most people in our profession as caregivers tend to want to help out, but it does lead to just this really systemic burnout problem that is easier for a lot of people to go and not work in this profession because it is just so taxing at this point.
Yeah, I think it's something where when I've had in the past short staffing, you know, whether I was a mental health provider or a supervisor or manager, what we by and large do is take more cases, do more work, just try to keep going. You know, everybody needs us. We can't say no. It's really hard. It's all of those things. I was picturing Adriana, you know, when she came and talked on our episode around the same thing happening for bilingual clinicians, mm-hmm. but just this idea of, I can't say no, they need us. And so just these gigantic caseloads that are both systemically problematic, but also personally problematic because there's just no way to keep that pace up. And so folks burn out and leave really early. But even if they make it through, I mean, we've had this conversation in the burnout machine, and, you know, so we won't go too far into this, but it's such a bad situation where not only are the clinicians overworked, burned out, usually not getting paid much more because oftentimes the cuts happen there, and their supervisors and managers have broken away from the day-to-day grind of seeing huge caseloads, but are jaded and not necessarily the support that those clinicians need. And so they might as well have left the profession.
Well, and we specifically talked about this in our Gaslighting Therapists episode that we did at the beginning of the pandemic. And there's a part of me that really likes having been right, but there's also a part of me that is like, We knew this was coming, and and so frustrated just in this was
how
so
you really feel
so predictable that
yeah
this is just calm down
well I think but, the thing that oh go
but,
ahead
but
go ahead.
But this is where we haven't changed the way that we take care of the workers. I mean, maybe what we've changed is given them a second Subway sandwich party each month. And
Or like cheering. Woohoo! Way to go. Or, thank you, know,
some,
heroes.
Some sort of banner that promotes you are a hero. but I mean, it's stuff like this, and it's stuff like okay, we are seeing some of this response in legislation. There's a bill was passed by both houses of the U.S. government. Moving on, we'll link to it in the show notes, but this is a bill written by Senator Tim Kaine to promote and look into interventions for preventing burnout in mental health and healthcare workers. And this is widely celebrated as, all right, we're going to be getting to the problem of why so many people are leaving the profession. How can we address this to keep people in? And these funding bills are continuing to miss the point in looking at this bill. My first response was, oh, we're going to blame the individual mental health practitioners and the healthcare workers. The bill is literally about promoting mental health care and looking for ways to promote resiliency. And I know that the $30 million that is being spent to investigate this is going to result in do more yoga. And have you thought about therapy? As mental health workers, we know that we need to go to therapy. It's not dealing with all of the access issues. It's not dealing with all of the giant caseload issues. It's not being able to have good workplace practices. It's, it's that Principal Skinner meme of like, is it us the problem? No, it's the workers. They're misinformed. That is just going to continue to reinforce this as a problem. And my big bold prediction is that in a couple of years, they're going to say, well, we spent $30 million on it and it didn't fix anything. So we probably don't need to invest in mental health workforce issues for a while.
I think one of my, I'm going to put this on my to-do list right now, is figuring out if that does go through, is there a way for mental health providers to actually get on task forces and those types of things? Because I think there are possibilities. If there's money going toward it, it has not been decided, Kurt. Let me be a little Pollyanna for a second.
No!
It hasn't been decided. It has not been decided. And maybe if our modern therapists across the country go and try to get into these committees and at these tables and talk about what you were just saying, as well as different payment structures, and just like, just drop the RAND report right in front of them and say,
I mean, that's just it, is they're paying for more investigations to end up with things that are already in existence.
Yeah.
We'll have a call to action about what we can do with that next step with the where that grant money is going with Health and Human Services. Maybe not today. Follow us on our social media and
we'll figure it out.
We'll figure out exactly who needs to be called on that. Thrizer is a payment platform designed for out-of-network therapy. As a therapist, you would use Thrizer to charge clients for sessions and collect your full rate upfront. From the client's perspective, Thrizer links to their health plan, so insurance claims are automatically submitted for them upon every charge. From there, Thrizer manages the claims end-to-end so that your clients don't have to worry about manually submitting super bills or getting on calls with insurance. The best part? Thrizer allows clients to only pay their co-insurance portion for sessions, while Thrizer covers the rest of your fee and waits for reimbursement on their behalf.
They also offer you an instant benefits calculator for free, allowing you to provide upfront transparency to prospective clients on their out-of-network coverage. Therapists only pay a standard 3% credit card processing fee per session with no additional fees. Visit join.thrizer.com/modern therapist to get started and use our promo code Modern Therapists to receive $2,500 in waived fees for your sessions.
Now, some of these other bills that I'm seeing, they do provide for money for hiring more workers. General,
those are good.
Yeah,
let's hire more workers. Give them some money. Give them money and autonomy. That's probably not happening, but give them money.
Now, there's other bills to address behavioral healthcare work shortages. This also goes to other healthcare workers. They have their own podcast. we're talking about behavioral healthcare workers here. There are other bills that are addressed towards scholarships for improving access in particularly like rural areas. But with telehealth, I'm seeing a lot of these just in general, like let's get more people into school to be licensed for these positions. And these, in my opinion, are generally misguided and bad bills. And
so scholarships are bad.
Scholarships don't address the problem and actually may end up increasing the problem. Because
why do they increase the problems, my friend? This is, it seems like a lot of people I know, they got these scholarships and it seemed to help them get through.
Scholarship money tends to increase the overall cost of tuition and expenses that universities charge. The more free money that's available for universities to take in, the more that it raises the cost for all students who don't get the scholarships. Because if the tuition can go up because it's being covered by somebody else, this actually then ends up creating barriers for people who maybe, you know, not qualifying for the scholarships, still not able to pay for school, they end up taking out large loans. Now, what I'm saying is the scholarship bills should be directed towards loan forgiveness as opposed to paying for tuition. Same dollar amounts, but if you are aware of anything, start talking with your legislators about how this money actually can impact the workforce as opposed to just filling some university's endowment fund a little bit more or being able to get three Subway sandwiches in student appreciation. We're just going to have an economy of Subway sandwiches. That's the way we're talking about this.
So we can try to increase the workforce by either hiring people, somehow making education cost less. There's another bill that I saw, and I think there's one in California right now, but there's a lot of them, I think, across the country that I'm sure are happening. But it's working to decrease wait times for clients, patients seeking services. And on the face of it, this is potentially bad. Because then there's a legislative, potentially legal responsibility for mental health providers to take more clients more quickly. However, this is the part that I think is really interesting. And this is where I think there's a challenge for us. If insurance panels cannot keep clinicians in their roles and cannot keep up with these wait times, I'm wondering what happens. If we don't jump to this action here. Am I getting into cartel territory?
No, I don't think you are, because on one
hand, the Cardigan cartel is taking this on.
On one hand, the history of a lot of these insurance companies is whatever fines that they end up paying are going to be probably cheaper than what they would have paid out in services anyway. And we've talked about this in things like the episodes on the Kaiser Permanente strikes in the past, but these are billion-dollar companies. Fines to them are just, you know, shifting some numbers over from profit margins. It doesn't, these things, these bills like this are really well-intended, but they don't address workforce shortages either.
Yeah.
And potentially even gives some of these insurance companies the opportunities for having a defense of there's no workers for us to actually hire to shorten these labor times, which then leads to what has also traditionally happened in the workforce, which is that, well, this seems like a great time for mental health professionals to have a really good impact on legislation. Traditionally, workforce shortages have been addressed by creating or filling in with more paraprofessionals.
Yeah.
That if the really high barrier to entry positions are going to need a longer pipeline, it's being able to provide things like peer counseling services, peer support specialists. And well, those are good. It's not something that addresses the specific problems that we're facing as licensees or for our pre-licensed listeners, on the pathway to being licensed. All the more reason for you to be involved with advocacy to address the specific issues. But my, you know, not Pollyanna, like Debbie Downer piece of this here is, unless you really take action right now, in all of the free time and with all of that not burnt out energy that you have, history suggests that without really good action on this, we're not going to get the very needed changes that we've identified 10, 15 years ago that have all come to a head here and will likely come to a head at some other position again in the future. We need the action now to continue to call legislatures to be involved in the bill writing process so that way it can be better. Otherwise, it's going to be filled in by paraprofessionals and continuing to just replicate the same problems that we're seeing in our workforce system.
There's a few things that you're saying that I agree with, but I also think that they don't have all the pieces to it. And so speaking to my experience with some of these public mental health contracts and those types of things, when there is a financial shortage, so the funding goes away because, you know, near and around 2008, when, you know, the Great Recession began, there was a lot of funding that went away for mental health services. And so there were really creative ways that folks added some of these positions. So there was paraprofessionals, case managers, there was different types of codes that could be used that were slightly lower rates. And there was also this huge push for evidence-based practices to, you know, kind of create these different funding streams and kind of pull money from here and there. And what I really saw is that there was this combination of how do we make this cost less? And how do we take care of people with a lower cost? And with, you know, there wasn't a workforce shortage at that time, I don't think. I feel like there's always a little bit of a workforce shortage in public mental health, but that's a whole other conversation. But it's one of those things where there wasn't money to pay people. And so they did create these positions. But since that time, and I think this is accounted for in the RAND report as well, there's been a real efficacy seen with these multidisciplinary teams. So I don't want to say like, hey, let's get out and make sure that we get to keep all the work, because I don't know that that's necessarily what we need to do. I think we need to make sure that the work that we're doing suits our expertise and suits what is needed. But I think at that time, there was creativity that was both kind of mercenary as well as actually improving mental health care. So I don't think it's black or white, like, hey, this is just because of a workforce shortage that we need to bring in people who have different qualifications. I also think, and this is very much aligned in what you were saying, that there is a tendency to make do because it's not a nameless, faceless mental health problem. It's this client and this group and that group. And I think when we are looking to make a difference right now, I think there's looking at how do I steel my heart against wanting to solve the systemic problem myself. And that is both in how we run our practices, but it also can be in where we get employment. When an agency gets a contract, so let's say they get a $500,000 contract to provide services, if they cannot fulfill it, they lose the money. And so for public mental health providers, they actually need to stay staffed. And we can actually make a difference in who gets to keep their money by making sure we're very diligent in where we go to get employed and where we stay employed and where we do the work. And so I feel like there is an element of us choosing whether or not large app companies gets our employment, whether it's, you know, public mental health organizations that do shady work, whether they get our employment, you know, like we do have a value there beyond like insurance companies and their gigantic war chests being able to fight against some of these things. So maybe that was a little all over the place, but I think it's something where I don't want to say like, hey, we can only do legislation, because unless we have power in and how we choose to do our work, I think there's not going to be change anyway.
You're talking about individual issues here. Mm-hmm.
Simplified SEO Consulting's team of mental health professionals genuinely want to help you attract more of your ideal clients with a proven on-page SEO process using the strategies that are most effective for therapist websites. They know SEO is an investment, which is why it is so important to find someone who aligns with your values and understands the importance of building your private practice in a meaningful way. Simplified SEO Consulting hopes to be that team for you and your practice.
The expert team would love to talk with you during a free consultation to figure out the best fit for your SEO journey. Simplified SEO Consulting has DIY, done with you training, and done for you SEO options. So there's truly something to fit every practice owner's SEO needs. Be sure to ask if their innovative content network is a good fit for your website. Listeners of this podcast can get 20% off a DIY SEO course with code MODERNTHERAPIST or mention the Modern Therapist Survival Guide podcast during your free consultation for $100 off your done-for-you SEO program onboarding this spring.
Check them out at simplifiedseoconsulting.com/modern therapist.
Well, there's also such big systemic issues that... Of course. Do need the focus. And while I think that there's a lot of individual efforts that we can make in our own practices, that it almost just kind of ignores the problem. I'm looking at an opinion piece in the Oregonian from September, and this was penned by Heather Jeffries, Executive Director of the Oregon Council on Behavioral Health, Cheryl Ramirez, Executive Director of the Association of Oregon Mental Health Programs, and Royce Boland, Director of the Oregon Alliance. And their public call includes some things that very much speak to this kind of stuff: increasing funding to recruit and retrain staff, reducing administrative burden. Those things are great. Providing cash supports for organizations struggling with the financial impacts of increased costs and insufficient revenue. Fantastic. Publicly recognize and appreciate the workforce. Throw more Subway sandwiches at them. Maybe misses the point.
Yeah.
But the one that stands out to me is that they are asking that the National Guard be deployed to staff residential facilities.
Hmm.
We are in such a crisis that the heads of behavioral workforce associations are coming together and saying, we need people who have nothing as far as training to be called in by the government to come and provide staffing here. And I point all of this out because while we feel an individual responsibility to take some of these steps ourselves, there is only so much that each one of us can do that really needs to be able to address this, especially as a lot of these legislative waivers are ending and not, you know, being progressed. Things like, you know, telehealth supervision waivers that are, you know, going to be gone at the end of October in California, where Katie and I practice. But in this lurch, where we talked about this in our most recent episode with Ben Caldwell, is due to the legislative process, there is going to be systemic barriers that, rather than expending some of this energy more for us to help the one or two or five more people in our caseload that we could take on, to have a greater impact, spend those one or two or 5 hours where this can actually impact thousands of people in a much better way, even if it means looking more for long-term changes than short-term changes right now.
I want to do a yes and, because I think it is hard, and we'll do some of the legwork here. This is what we've been talking about with not focusing in on a conference this year. We will do some legwork and we will try to help have some specific guidance on how we make some impacts here on legislation, policy, that kind of stuff. But I think we also need to be very conscious about the choices we make collectively and individually on where we get hired, where we do our work, what we charge, because if there is a path to status quo, the legislative efforts won't go through.
Right.
And so we have to push back against the status quo of poor insurance reimbursements, ridiculous bureaucratic burdens on organizations. Like, we need to push back on those things individually and collectively, or it doesn't matter how many of us go. And there's, you know, we're a small workforce kind of in comparison to some of these gigantic, you know, other types of you know, professions. So all of us just saying, like, I'm going to take two or three fewer clients and going and fighting on the Hill is not going to necessarily be sufficient. I think we need to do both.
We do need to do both, but it's like the gaslighting episode where it's mm-hmm. like, this is stuff that is predictable, that legislative sure. changes are going to be 5-6 years from now, where it's like, we told you so. Stop, yes. stop complaining about stuff 5 or 6 years from now, because the call for action is right now. Legislators yes. know that mental health needs to be addressed. What they don't know is what needs to be addressed in mental health.
Yeah.
And that's where that call to action is. And I know in some of my early online conversations, when I point these things out, the response is, well, this is at least addressing the short-term thing that's good enough. And right now, having been involved in advocacy for as long as we have, addressing good enough for right now does not change the problems that are going to be way bigger 5 years from now.
Totally agree.
And this is really where it's giving up some of our short-term action that, you know, still may not be kind of our perfect sort of answers to everything. I mean, we do have several more decades of podcasts that we need to make, but we do need to actually address some of our problems in our systemic part of our profession and get this stuff off the ground that we have been doing some of the legwork on. We will organize some of this stuff. We encourage you to start looking at what bills are going to be written in your respective jurisdictions. Send them to us. Send them to me, Kurt@therapyreimagined.com, C-U-R-T, @therapyreimagined.com. I'll give you at least, you know, some ideas of things to start talking with your legislators about. And if your legislators aren't writing mental health stuff, be calling their offices and saying, what are you doing to address mental health stuff in our profession, in our state, in our country? Because the stuff that is being written is really
Subway sandwiches.
It's Subway sandwiches. Thank you for giving me something so we don't have it explicit on this episode.
I think we're in agreement. I think both of us just have a different take on it and what can be done more readily. You are very adept at the advocacy at the legislative level. And I think that is something where we all need to get better at it. And we need to be at some of these tables. We need to be talking to our legislators. I 100% agree. I think if we are working for places who are exploiting us at the same time, we are undermining our efforts. So that's all I'm saying.
Okay. I agree with that.
Overall, you know, kind of summarizing the call to action is really assess where you are in this time, in this really pivotal time for our profession. Are you working in a way that supports you and the work that you want to do? Have you created bandwidth so at the same time you can advocate and make changes at the larger scale so that you're both supporting yourself, standing by your principles and how you are going to work, and pushing for larger systemic change?
Be in touch with us. Follow our social media. Take those Subway sandwiches and tell your supervisors where to put them. And until next time, I'm Kurt Widhelm with Katie Vernoy. Remember to check out Thrizer. They are passionate about making out-of-network therapy work for everyone. Clients save upfront on therapy while therapists earn their full rate. Get started in minutes on join.thrizer.com/modern therapist and use the promo code Modern Therapists and receive $2,500 in waived fees for your sessions.
Don't forget, we have some special offers from our partner, Simplified SEO Consulting. Get 20% off a DIY SEO course with the code Modern Therapist, or mention the Modern Therapist Survival Guide podcast during your free consultation for $100 off of your onboarding to the Done For You SEO program. Check them out at simplifiedseoconsulting.com/modern therapist.
Thank you for listening to the Modern Therapist Survival Guide. Learn more about who we are and what we do at mtsgpodcast.com. You can also join us on Facebook and Twitter. And please don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any of our episodes.